This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
On the expiry of the notice period on Friday, the Apex Council will not be liable for whatever happens thereafter.
That's David Zatsunga, Secretary of Zimbabwe's Civil Service, amid speculation of a strike tomorrow over a wage dispute with the government. Details coming up. Also, the new Democratic Republic of Congo President, Felix Tshisekedi, was sworn in today with thousands of his supporters and outgoing President Joseph Kabila present. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, after a contentious, chaotic election, the Democratic Republic of Congo inaugurated a new president today. Felix Tshisekedi's inauguration, while disputed and controversial, is the first peaceful power transfer that independent Congo has ever seen. But is it really a new start? Analysts say no. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
All eyes were on Felix Tshisekedi as he was sworn in as new president of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He may have felt the pressure, taking an unscheduled break to leave the stage because he felt, as he said, exhausted by the long election campaign and the emotion of the occasion. But his swearing-in on Thursday represents the first peaceful transition of power in six decades, a historic occasion for a nation long beset by conflict, instability, and brutal politics. On Wednesday, outgoing President Joseph Kabila, who has held power for 18 years, urged the nation to accept their new leader. Tshisekedi's election comes with great controversy. He was declared the winner over objections by opposition candidate Martin Fayulu, who says he actually won the December poll. The influential Catholic Church backed that claim. Fayulu's supporters protested earlier this week after his bid for a recount was rejected by the nation's highest court. Now, as Tshisekedi takes the helm, his critics say they want to see the new president step up. Pro-democracy activist Sylvain Saluseke watched the proceedings from the sidelines in Johannesburg, as his activism has put him in self-imposed exile for nearly 4 years. He said that while he's not entirely satisfied with how the poll played out, he has high hopes for Tshisekedi.
I think he has an opportunity to express himself, at least to show. He has shown in the past that he tends to be consensual or listen to his buzz, as he call it. If that is the how he's going to run the country, I think he will have to be able to not only listen to as many people as possible, because people will try and control him, but I think he needs to be able to show us that he's a president who can take decisions and stand by them.
But Kabila, who will continue in politics as president of the Senate, may not be far behind. He will be Tshisekedi's biggest challenge, says analyst Stephanie Walters of the Institute for Security Studies.
He doesn't have to cede a whole lot of power. He will become a senator, so he will be influential in the Senate. He will still be the president of the largest coalition, political coalition in the country, with a parliamentary majority and a grip on the provincial assemblies, the 26 provincial assemblies, and on those governors.
Saluseke agrees.
We know that the elephant in the room is Kabila. Kabila was, Kabila hasn't left. And as long as Kabila is still in the country and in the deal, he will still be controlling everything. And that's how we're optimistic about the country. But about his Felix Tshisekedi's presidency, he has work to do.
Today, Kabila took a back seat. And with a new president in office, at least some Congolese were in the mood to celebrate. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
In light of Zimbabwe's currency crisis, rising inflation, and high cost of living, the civil service has been calling for a salary increase. The government has made another offer, but the civil servants are not happy with it. And Friday could bring new labor action. Reporter Kudzai Zinawashi has more from Harare.
David Zatsunga is the secretary of the Civil Service Apex Council, a collective body for civil servants. He says the unions on Wednesday gave government a clear warning.
As Apex Council, having met the government severally with no tangible results, we are advising government today that the notice that we served on government on 8 January 2019 expires in the next 48 hours.
Government had offered civil servants what amounts to a raise of 22.7%, but the Apex Council has turned it down as too little.
On the expiry of the notice period on Friday, the Apex Council will not be liable for whatever happens thereafter. That's our position that has been taken by all the civil service unions.
Teachers already are on strike, with many staying off the job for part of each week. There are reports of activists from the ruling ZANU-PF party attacking striking teachers. While the Apex leadership is not saying civil service workers definitely will go on strike, they suggested that having served government with notice signaling their intention to strike, if they did do so, it would be within the law. Any labor action would come after nearly 2 weeks of rising tensions following the government's move of doubling fuel prices. Security forces and government supporters have cracked down on protesters and hundreds have been arrested. The government has blamed outside forces of trying to use the country's economic woes as an excuse to overthrow it. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Cameroon is struggling to get humanitarian aid to hundreds of thousands of people who fled areas of separatist unrest, some of them trapped by the fighting. Meanwhile, authorities' calls for separatists to disarm and be pardoned are failing, as rehabilitation centers remain empty. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé.
A group of 12 kids gather water in the early morning hours in Cameroon's capital. 45-year-old Gwendolyn Doom took in the children a few weeks ago after they fled her hometown of Mbengue. Many of the kids had walked for days in the bush to escape fighting between Cameroon security and Anglophone separatists. Doom says some of the children can't find their parents and she couldn't let them live on the streets, but the burden is becoming too much.
So when they sleep on the floor, let's be tight with them with three. Now we don't.
She says she can no longer afford to pay the water and electricity bills or buy chicken, meat or fish. A 50-kilogram bag of rice hardly lasts for 2 weeks, says Doom, because they eat only rice for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Cameroon's government this week said it was assisting more than 60,000 internally displaced people in the separatist areas, the English-speaking northwest and southwest. But the United Nations estimates that over 430,000 people have been displaced by the conflict. Cameroon authorities say they are unable to reach most of the displaced in need because many have fled to remote areas and are trapped by ongoing fighting. Most independent help is limited to government-controlled areas.
We pray, O Jehovah, whatever we will give them, it is not because we have, it is not because we are able.
A woman prays for peace as about 100 displaced people help the aid group Voice of the Voiceless collect donations of food, clothing, and bedding. The group's Christian Chinongong says the displaced are helping each other because they know what it's like to have nothing. He says Cameroon's government must also do more to help. It should end the conflict.
The government should listen to the people, organize a dialogue, an inclusive dialogue, so that we can see the end of this thing. Because no matter what we give these people, it can never make them happy. The only happiness that these people can achieve is to see their homes again.
Minister of Territorial Administration Paul Atanganje says rehabilitation centers set up for separatists who agree to disarm and be pardoned had opened their doors and were waiting.
We have to respect the instructions from President Paul Biya that when you lay down your weapons, you are taken to the centers. You are provided health facilities. You have psychologists who are there to start educating the population. And we have training facilities in those centers.
But so far, not a single rebel has taken up the offer. The rehabilitation centers in the English-speaking southwestern town of Boya and in the capital Yaounde are empty. In a WhatsApp interview with VOA, separatist fighter Edward Ngafin, who refused to say where he was, described the rehab centers as a trap.
I don't hear say they don't create this armament commission.
It be like not trapped, I don't understand.
He says he will not go to a government rehabilitation center and can never advise any separatist fighter to listen to any promise made by the government of Cameroon. Ngafin says he does not understand how a government that he describes as always tormenting English speakers will suddenly claim that it cares and that it will recruit everyone. Cameroon's separatist conflict broke out in 2017 amid protests against Francophone domination in English-speaking regions. Some took up arms and declared they would become an independent nation called Ambazonia. President Biya sent in the military and vowed to crush all those who refused to disarm, saying the country's unity cannot be negotiated. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
You are listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Seventeen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. The new Democratic Republic of Congo president, Felix Tshisekedi, was sworn in today with thousands of his supporters and outgoing President Joseph Kabila present. And in light of Zimbabwe's high cost of living, civil servants are calling for a salary increase. And Cameroon is struggling to get humanitarian aid to hundreds of thousands of people who fled areas of separatist unrest. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Just over 3 weeks ago, before Nigeria's president election, the leading female candidate, she is dropping out to help form a coalition to challenge the two main political parties. 55-year-old Obi Ezekwesili will try to pull together a number of smaller parties, calling it an urgent mission. The former World Bank vice president has focused on championing the underrepresented young and women in a country run mostly by older men. 73 candidates are seeking the presidency, but only the ruling All Progressive Congress of incumbent President Muhammadu Buhari and the People's Democratic Party of his main challenger, former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, have won the country's presidential elections since the restoration of democratic rule in 1999. Both Buhari and Atiku are more than 70 years old. Ezekwesili co-founded Transparency International, one of the world's leading organizations against corruption, and led the international effort to free schoolgirls kidnapped by Boko Haram extremists. Last year, VOA's Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa, spent time in Norton, Zimbabwe, home of the legendary musician Oliver Mtukudzi, who passed away yesterday. We thought we'd bring you the report she did about his arts center there in Norton. Known around the world as Tuku, the singer-songwriter released 67 albums over a career that spanned more than 40 years. He toured around the world singing in Shona, Ndebele, and English.
Norton, Zimbabwe is the home of Pakare Paye Arts Center. The founder of the center is Oliver Mutukudzi, the legendary Tuku. We're about to meet him, the perfect time to catch up with him, find out what he's up to, and see how he's giving back to the community through music. Tuku, it is such an honor and a privilege to be here at your gorgeous art center up here in Norton, Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much, sir. It's good to see you once again after how many years? I think that was 2012.
It was, and you were in the VOA studio in Washington, D.C. So tell me, what has been happening and what are you doing now with your music?
Well, I'm yet to release my 67th album, so I'm very excited.
What is going to be different or special about this album? I mean, that might be hard to say since you've done so many, but is there one thing?
Oh, yes. Every album has got its own topic. It's got its own agenda. And this one is about the whole world, why the world is having disputes. I guess it's we are all in the wrong positions that God created us for. That's why. We are following our passion instead of being who we are.
How do you know who you are?
Parents are supposed to help you identify yourself. And I believe children talk to the parents that, hey, this is who I am. And parents feel otherwise. No, I want my baby to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And they push their child to be a medical doctor. And yet he was created to play a drum.
Right now, we're in front of the Sam Mutukudzi Conference Center, dedication to your lost son. I'm so sorry about that.
Well, he is the one who started the conference center, so.
Yeah, it's his.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're just too tired now to keep touring?
Well, edge is catching up, but I can't run away from myself. I have to do it.
Tuku, Oliver Mutukudzi, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. And it's good to see you again.
We thought we would close with a bit of a song that Oliver Mutukudzi played for VOA's Heather Maxwell on Music Time in Africa, where he visited VOA studios in 2012. This is Horoi, a song he wrote in honor of his wife. He wrote it originally to sing with his late son, Sam. Thank you. That was the late, great Oliver Mtukudzi, known around the world as Tuku. We were just hearing his song he wrote in honor of his wife, titled Horoye. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Shogun Chan, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
African music hits.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African music mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.